Okay, hello and welcome. Welcome to Beloved Soulpreneurs, a series where I interview women living their soul's purpose and power. This is about inspiring women who have followed their soul's calling, breaking through what stood in their way in pursuit of finding greater fulfillment in their life and their work. Here we will be discussing what it has entailed for these women to find their own empowerment and soul clarity, enabling them to be both on purpose and in service. And I am so excited today to be welcoming on the lovely Flo, my great friend, Flo Bell from Florence Bell Wellness. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here. I'm very excited as well.
It is very exciting. I can't believe this is our first one. So I'm actually going to say, let's take a couple of breaths to begin because I am really overexcited just to ground and to come into resonance as well. So just close down the eyes and let's just start by taking a couple of breaths. And for our listeners as well, when they're joining this on the replay or the repeat, I invite them to join us too. So when you're ready, just allow those eyes to be closed. Find a bit of a straighter spine, a bit of length through the spine if you can, and just start by taking a deep breath through the nose all the way down into the belly. And then letting it go. Let's take two more like this. Really deep breath all the way down into the belly. Even the sides of the ribs can lift. And then letting it go. And taking that final deep, delicious breath, deepest one of the day, all the way down to the very root. And then gently opening the eyes. Wonderful. Ah, oh, I love taking a few deep breaths. It is amazing. It's such medicine, isn't it?
It is.
So, Flo, let's start with just telling us a little bit more about you as benefit for our listeners and a bit of an overview. That would be
Yeah, no,
fantastic.
absolutely. So obviously, as you know, I'm Flo. I am a self-acceptance coach, but I'm also a yoga and meditation teacher, based in Manchester, but also grew up in Oxford, so hence the kind of slightly confused accent of kind of well-spoken but hard A's. Yeah, I'm living with my partner. He's doing a PhD, but yeah, we're hoping to move back down to Oxford soon. And yeah, I own and am CEO of Florence Bell Wellness, my wellness company essentially.
Amazing. I love it. And just tell us a little bit more about the wellness company, who it is you help, and what it is that it focuses on.
Absolutely. So my company originally actually started to focus on children, especially kind of well-being of children within schools, which is still kind of a key fundamental part of my business. But more recently and personally, I am now really driving towards supporting and helping women, and that means anybody who identifies as a woman, to really deal and acknowledge their anger and anxiety, to basically turn that into self-acceptance and self-empowerment. So yeah, specifically anxiety and anger is where I focus.
Amazing and so important. I think, especially with this last year, we're recording this in March, 10th of March 2021. And obviously, with the last 12 months that we've all been through down in lockdown, I'm sure everyone can relate at some point with having felt those waves or had some interaction with anxiety or anger. And yet, I know for me personally, anger is an interesting one. That is, there's a lot of heavy attachments to anger and whether it's right or wrong and the taboo around it. I'd love to know a little bit more, and if you're happy to talk about your own journey with these two emotions, with anger and
Yeah, completely happy to talk about it. Always happy to share
anxiety.
my own journey with anger and anxiety in particular. So I kind of had a very privileged upbringing, but also my parents started going through a lot of difficulties from about the age of 7 for me. And that was quite a big impactful moment in my life where kind of everything started falling about around me, essentially. I didn't really understand what was going on. I was very young, and I slightly took on the role of keeping everyone incredibly happy and joyful in the family. I felt that was my purpose, and that was slightly reflected and projected onto me as well by my parents. And because of this kind of overwhelming pressure, and also just the anger I felt anyway at the situation, this just started to really, really escalate. And to the point where it got quite frightening, to be fair. I had such severe anger that it would explode out of me pretty much all the time, any chance I possibly had. So I'd get in proper physical fights at school, in the streets when I got older, especially when I started drinking. It got a lot worse. I rugby tackled fully grown men into bins, punched them in the face, that kind of thing. It's kind of one of those things that sounds quite funny in hindsight, but at the time it was genuinely quite horrific. And so it really just escalated for me, just predominantly because I didn't understand what this emotion was. I didn't have an outlet. No one really asked me how I was. No one really kind of looked at my anger as potentially the symptom of my situation. Everyone more saw it as the fact that I was this volatile, potentially nasty child. And then this was very much offset. I didn't let my parents see this either. No one really ever saw this side of me while I was at home. So this was very much only at school and when I was out with my friends. So again, I was essentially leading these double lives, which basically obviously then just escalated my anger even more, because I felt even more angry at my parents that I wasn't able to express myself. They weren't noticing that I was so angry, that I was so upset, that I had all these kind of issues. And then eventually the anger started to subside. That was probably not really until my 20s. And I still do have a hot head, you know, I have a hot head, that's fine. I get angry, but not to the extent of where it's kind of physical violence or real verbal aggression, thankfully so much anymore. But it started then instead to really manifest itself in a lot of anxiety. And particularly my anxiety started happening when I started teaching in a school where I wasn't particularly supported. It was a very stressful situation. And it just manifested in burnout and a lot of stress. And I used to have panic attacks. I used to literally kind of cry and freak out every time I needed to go into work. I eventually ended up having a literal meltdown in front of a group of 38-year-old children, which is not exactly the time that you want to kind of have one of those moments, but it happens. And that just really escalated, which eventually again led me on to open up this business or start kind of down this path that I've taken. But again, the anxiety was still quite strong for a while, especially setting up my own business. It was never as bad as it was at the school, but for me, my anxiety again really manifested itself in other ways then while setting up my business, because we'd moved to a new city. I was very alone. I didn't have any friends here. Max was away a lot of the time because we'd moved for him to do his PhD. I had no money. I was broke. I was obviously desperately trying to like get out this like business of being self-aware and breaking down anxiety, but I was having, you know, like little mini breakdowns pretty much every day at home. So it's been a continuous journey, and it's actually, I suppose, really only been in the last few years where I probably felt like I'm properly on top of kind of my mental health in that sense. It's not escalated as much as it has done in the past, over these last 3 years, which is a nice place to feel I'm at, actually. It's quite nice looking back at that and realizing that.
Yeah, incredible. And thank you so much for sharing so openly about that. I definitely really hear you when you kind of talk about that. You know, when we're a child, we don't get to choose the situations we're in. Sometimes that powerlessness and the fact that we're still forming our own identity and our place within the family unit and the greater world, is so much pressure that, you know, we're not really aware of ourselves until we look back on it. And I think it's really interesting what you were saying, that kind of that split in having to be always joyful and happy and hold things together and be that good girl within the family. And yet all of those other emotions that weren't allowed in that space had to have somewhere to go. And to see that, you know, playing out so clearly is so powerful, I think, for many of us who might experience that same wrong and right judging or fragmentation between our emotions, but maybe in subtler ways. And I also think it's really interesting what you were saying about how it really was the symptom of a bigger cause. So much of the time when we're expressing emotions that are deemed by society as quote marks wrong, we're told we're wrong, rather than looking at what it's being, you know, coming from, and looking at the root cause. And you know probably better than anyone, I'm so about the root cause and getting to the very nub of things and going deep on stuff. So I think that is amazing that you're bringing awareness to this. You know, that anger and anxiety are often symptoms of other things that we're dealing with. And like you said, when this translated into anxiety, more when you're working in the school, and then as you started your journey as an entrepreneur, not stress-free zones, you know, really intense dynamics. Like you said, 38 eight-year-old children, just as you said that, I felt stressed just at the idea of 38 children in a room, let alone having to control them for any length of time. And yeah, I feel you obviously on the entrepreneurial journey as well. Those first couple of years are tough. They are tough. So just really honoring your journey so far and celebrating where you're at now. I know for me personally that you offer so much grounded support and advice and balance, and you really are the embodiment of self-acceptance. So yeah, you, to anyone out there listening or thinking about that, that's where they need to go. Flo does truly walk her talk in this stuff. I'd love to know a little bit more as well about, you know, from those experiences, what would you say was kind of your biggest learning? What knowledge, and I touched upon a few here, but what was the main kind of real lessons that you came away with, the greater understanding and wisdom that you felt then you can, were the sort of the building blocks that you've put in place with the work you do with clients now? What are those main learnings?
Absolutely. I think for anger, for me particularly, when at least I started accepting my anger, kind of realizing that I actually had to accept my anger in order for it to lessen, rather than actually battling against my anger and feeling like this, it was this horrible part of myself that I just needed to basically shove down in a deep dark hole and never address. So obviously that was exacerbating it more. It's kind of, I realized how much of a taboo anger is, especially for women. Like, we are not told that anger is a becoming quality for a woman. We're meant to be, you know, calm and sweet and you know, take things in our stride, and if we do fly off the handle, we're seen as hysterical, or, you know, just like as though we've not got control, or slightly psychotic or crazy is also, it's like, that bitch is crazy often seems to be a favorable way to kind of refer to people who've gone a little bit AWOL as a woman. And whereas with men, it's like, you know, it's just like, if they're angry a lot of the time, it's just like, oh yeah, well, they've just got a lot of testosterone, they're gonna go kind of get that rage off out of the rugby pitch, or it's just like, you know, on the football pitch, or they'll go have a few beers, and she's like, oh, they've just got a bit leery. It's kind of, that's how, it's just like the vocabulary around it is completely different as to how it's perceived for women. And even for me, I remember when I had a coach, and she actually said to me, she was like, I do feel like your anger is something that you could really hone in on for your business, because it's something that you keep on talking about. And I still felt really anxious about discussing it and being open about my anger. I felt really concerned, because I was just like, God, what are people going to think of me? And it was just this like ingrained belief that's so kind of deep set, that even though I'd accepted my anger and I was happy discussing it with friends, I still was actually worried about putting it out there to everybody else in a public sphere. And so, yeah, for me, that was kind of my really big realization, was just, I was like, but if you can accept that anger within yourself, you also need to help other women realize that being angry is okay, and it's completely normal, and it's not because you're hysterical, and it's not because you're therefore not a woman. It's just like, you are allowed to be angry, and angry can actually, or being angry can be incredibly productive, incredibly inspiring, and actually cause change if it's used in the right way. But a lot of it's just understanding how to use it in the right way.
Yes.
Not so it's like manifests as physical or violent anger as it did for me when I was younger, but actually when you kind of take that time to understand your anger, accept it, work with your emotions, and actually start to channel it in that right direction, it has such a powerful impact. Doesn't mean you have to scream and shout, but just, you know, having a strong debate where you're putting forward your opinions with kind of passion, that's using your anger in a really positive way. But I think it's my anger was my biggest positive for me. That is literally what sparked change for me, and that's why I was just like, so actually, why am I so ashamed of it? Fucking put it out there. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. I do apologize.
No worries at all. No worries. It's done now, isn't it? Anyway. after the f-bomb, sorry guys, sorry if there's children. Apologies. I really hear you on that. It's almost as though I love the phrase sacred rage.
Really, all
emotions are sacred. They all can tell us something. And for me, anger often flares up to tell me where my boundaries are, you know, to tell me what my truth is and isn't. And I totally hear you. And it doesn't come as a surprise, I'm sure, to many listeners as well, that when the anxiety that you felt about sharing your anger, because like you said, this isn't just from even what we experienced in our life in terms of the shaming of it and it not being a becoming quality. This is ancestral, you know, like I know how many women were kind of shunned or thrown into a loony bin or divorced for hysteria, right?
Yeah.
Which was essentially oftentimes over trying to keep their children or very extreme events that would happen to them. And that was just labeled as hysteria, which was basically a silencing tool. It was a very intelligent way of keeping women quiet. And, you know, when we're in rage, sometimes that can be completely aligned with purpose. It's like, no, I deserve, I'm going to speak my truth. You know, how many women have walked into that court, probably petrified, but what's streaming through their veins, a rage that they need, they have to be heard, they deserve to be heard. So I love that. And I love that you said it was actually that that helped and was a turning point towards moving this and helping others tap into that sacred power that they have inside of them.
Yeah, it is super powerful. Just got to harness it. It's like any superpower, isn't it? You just got to harness it in the right way and then it'll be awesome.
Yeah, and I always think of it as being one of our wild qualities, and in the kind of patriarchy it's almost, I feel like we've been kind of like our claws have been cut and we've been tamed and kind of pacified, and this is part of like the rewilding of actually our instinctive wild selves. When something, you know, when harm's done to us, we should be allowed to scream about it.
Yeah.
Doesn't, you know, mean that we need to take violence to outwardly to other people, but to allow that expression. So I know you said you touched upon that you were a teacher for about a year. What was it that led you? You said it was incredibly stressful, you had a lot of anxiety during that year, but what was it that allowed you to pivot from that and get the clarity that it was going to be, you know, Florence Bell Wellness and all that entailed?
Originally, just I suppose to give a slight background, I always kind of wanted to be in education. I just love education, freaking love education. And I'd wanted to do education within museums because I've always kind of had that creative, artistic kind of side. And so that was kind of where I'd wanted to go. But in order to get into the education department of museums, they suggested I work in schools. And I used to tutor one-on-one and that kind of stuff. But I went into essentially this very, very poor state school, primary school within Oxfordshire. It was literally baptism of fire. And one of the most eye-opening things I've ever done. And I mean, literally half of the reason I feel I can handle anything that's thrown at me now is because of everything I experienced within that school. But the children were amazing. And I'd gone in as a teaching assistant and I was basically put in year three. They were notorious as one of the worst classes in the school. And they basically had a new teacher, which had swapped over who I'd been put with, which basically the lady before had started getting a real kind of handle on them. Anyway, this lady was not okay. I ended up having to report her. It got to the point where she was really appalling to the children. I essentially ended up doing most of the homework, all that kind of stuff. And the children had been so kind of battered down. It was just chaos all the time because they didn't have structure. They didn't have routine. So I kind of taken on this kind of slight figure of like caring mother role, because literally that's what they needed, because this woman was not at all providing that. So I reported her and she ended up being asked to leave, and they asked me to take over the class. Bearing in mind at this point, I'd only been a teaching assistant for about 2 months. So suddenly I was teaching and I was in charge of this group of 30 kids who were notorious for being some of the worst in the school, and who for the past 2 months I'd just been loving, nurturing person. So then I was having to try and switch to
no boundaries, right? Just come to me if you have a problem. Yeah, I'm here. Exactly. Yeah.
So it was just this huge switch, but they couldn't find me a teaching assistant essentially to work with me. But there was a lot of stuff that kind of came up, a lot of safeguarding things. There were children whose, you know, parents had to go to prison, children who were you know, being threatened with knives at home, like all sorts of things. Like there's a lot of stuff that comes up when you're in that kind of more impoverished areas. You know, kids who are being sent to school with empty lunch boxes, and you essentially have to report people to social services and chat to those kind of things. And there's just so much stuff that ends up happening. It's very just emotionally tiring in general. So many of the kids, I think that's what I kind of really started noticing, was that so many of the kids were so angry, and that was half the reason they were so different, difficult. It was just purely because they were so angry, because they obviously, you know, if you're having a really tough home life, then you're coming into school for just that bit of security and stability, and that's not being provided to you because you've been given a really horrific teacher who's treated you appallingly. She's been taken away, and now suddenly this other lady's now taken in charge of you, that's only been with you for 2 months. Like there's just so much instability. And it was just like I wasn't supported anyway, which is why I then started kind of slowly breaking and getting more and more stressed. And half the reason I was so tired, so exhausted, but I was like, I have to go in, because I have to go in for the kids, because if I don't go in, who the hell are they going to have today? It's like it will all just go to chaos again. So it was just like this kind of relentless kind of hamster wheel of just, I was just like picking up more and more of stress, more emotion. And I just remember I kept on going back home to Max, and I was just like, I felt so frustrated that they had no creative outlet. They had no kind of way to understand how to deal with their emotions. It was all about maths. It was all about English. And like, you know, just, it was just so focused on those things. And I just kept going back to Max. I was like, I just want to be able to go in. I was like, and I just want them to be able to do some art, do some yoga. I was like, and so that they can understand how to deal with their emotions a bit better. And Max would just literally just be like, well, why don't you? And I was just like, what?
Good job, like, Max.
Set up a business. And he was like, and you could do that. And I was just like, I could do that. And then he was like, so why don't you? I was like, I don't know anyway.
Absolutely frazzled, like haven't actually sat down yet, like that's one option, wait a second.
So it was kind of one of those things I got quite excited about, and we started discussing it, and that was when kind of the wheels kind of got set in motion, of where I was just like, I was that angry kid, I was that angry person who didn't know how to deal with their emotions because I wasn't given the opportunity to do so. And I think especially it was like there were just certain kids that they were so difficult, and but there was like particularly there was one boy in particular who all the teachers were just like, he's really appalling, he's a real nightmare, he's like kind of always just like on him. And he used to get very angry and usually do something. And basically my kind of method was, I used to just be like, do you want to come outside and chat about it? And we kind of talk about it. But I just basically speak to him as if he were an adult, and I'd be like, but why have you done that? And it would just be, it's literally just such a simple, calm conversation. Yeah. And he'd respond so well, because it was suddenly just like, and I'd be like, can you apologize? And he'd be like, yeah, I can. And it was just like, you get like a really good response, but it was just purely because, rather than just assuming it's because he's a bad kid and he's angry, so what's the point of even going there? He just needs to instantly be kind of punished. It's just, it's like, instead it's having a discussion and giving him a chance just to express why he was doing that, why that was happening, was actually all he needed. And I'm not saying all teachers are obviously like that, and there were some phenomenal teachers in that school. But it's just, it's very easy, and just having been on that side where I was the angry kid, I was penalised for that all the time. And it just kind of, yeah, for me, it was just very eye-opening. I was suddenly just like, God, there are so many children who are like me and in far worse situations than I even was, who literally don't even know how to go about dealing with this at all. I was like, if I'd been able to do yoga, if I'd have been able to do breathing exercises, if I'd have had more chance for a creative outlet, which is like, it probably would have lessened my kind of violence and that kind of stuff later down the line. So that's essentially where it all kind of sparked and initiated and then started snowballing.
Yeah, wow, what a huge year. And I don't think it's an uncommon thing either, that kind of being labelled, you know, in school. I think even the way the system works of being put into grades and teams, and, you know, you're either the sporty one or the intelligent one. And I know that, you know, I adopted certain labels from school that were actually in some ways empowering, but some ways really restrictive.
Yeah.
You know, like, and so hard for children when there's something inside them saying, that's not my truth. I'm just dealing with stuff that you can't see or you don't understand or you're not considering.
Exactly.
You know? Massive well done for that year. And I totally hear you as well. Could not have been easy when you empathize so much with those children. You know, it wasn't like you were going in, that would have been enough, just going in being like, I'm 2 months in. I'm not actually yet teacher. I'm an assistant. This is quite a lot. Add on top, tough class and the age group. What age is year three again? Remind me.
Seven to eight.
Wow. Yeah. So literally was that year for you as well. It was your mega tricky year. And, you know, on top of that, you did not have that support. And it's bringing up all of your stuff. So, yes, wow, definitely that pivot point. What I like to call as your rude awakening moment, where you go, oh, yeah, that's the shit. Like, you know, there's no avoiding it. This is, it's also the gold mine, right? Because when we get faced with it, it's like, we've got to do something different now. And like you said, Max so wonderfully mirrored back, said, well, yeah, why not? Why don't you?
And it was just like, I think as well, I was like, my mental health was getting so horrific. And to the point then where that was then when I got really severe IBS. And I was like bloated all the time. I had constipated all the time. Like everything was just like, oh God, I was just a complete mess. Mm-hmm. And it was even my dad who's like, super, you work all the time, very ambitious, you drive to whatever it is you're doing, you kind of persevere. And I remember I'd been speaking to him on the phone, and like was towards the end, and he was like, Florence, he was like, if it is making you this unwell, he was like, you need to leave. Mm. And I was just like, God, I was like, Dad saying that, and I do need to leave. It's just like, this isn't okay. I'm literally driving myself into the ground. And it's just like, it's not okay. You can help in other ways rather than like burning yourself out completely to the point where you're of no use to anyone.
And isn't that such an interesting stage in many of our journeys where we go, I want to help, but we haven't turned around and said, what do I need as well, you know, to help ourselves as part of that serving and that service. So I know that now, and obviously that's how we met into teaching yoga and meditation. I'd love to hear, you know, you knew that that would have helped you and you wanted to offer that towards the kids. Can you explain a bit more to our listeners how that yoga and meditation feeds in, how it's helped you personally manage your anger and anxiety, and how you see it helping the kids that you've worked with as well?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Mum actually introduced me to yoga. She kind of always did yoga growing up, from early 20s. And I started actually because I had a knee injury and I needed to do non-harsh exercise, basically, to support the muscles. And that was then, I just remember starting to do it, and I just kind of, it was just like mentally overall, I just felt so much calmer. It was just like this softness started like entering in. I was just like, ah. Oh. Okay, I was just like, don't feel quite
this
so.
This is bad. Lush. Yeah.
Things seem a little bit better. And I remember Mum had then bought me this yoga book, and I literally just used to self practice. So I used to just do it myself. But when I did it regularly, I found it so helpful. And it was because of that. Then it was just like I've noticed my anxiety subsiding, and then especially with anxiety again, that really subsided when I continued doing it through those kind of periods where anxiety got quite high. And it was for me, meditation became this place in particular where I was able to gain clarity on what was going on. And it was basically like years worth of therapy. I remember I did a week-long silent meditation retreat in Sri Lanka. And I literally didn't want to leave because everything started making sense.
Was it Vipassana that you did?
No, it wasn't Vipassana, but it was a silent one. It just wasn't as quite as strict as Vipassana. But it was so amazing. I literally, like, there was no electricity, there was nothing like that. You literally had candles, and you kind of then worked during the day. So you would sweep or clean out the toilets or whatever, and then you'd have like your three kind of meditation sessions. And it's absolutely fantastic. It was one of the best things I think I've ever done. But I just remember sitting in the first 2 days of that silent meditation, my mind was just like absolute chaos, thoughts everywhere, and I was like, this is impossible. I decided to do Then it was just that third day, and I just remember I just sat there, and then I was suddenly just like, my mind's gone quite quiet, and I was just like, and just stuff started just making sense. It was literally I just being able to stop and allow my mind to just catch up with itself, basically, because so much stuff was
processing
happening.
And processing exactly and, processing.
Mm. And you just kind of I think that's the thing, isn't it, when you're stressed or you're angry or you're anxious, you kind of try to forget about it, or you try to distract yourself and you do those kind of things because that seems like the logical thing to do, because you don't want to focus on what's making you feel bad. but it was just that stopping and actually just suddenly realizing, just having those little epiphanies of where it's just like, you've actually been doing an incredible job and all of this stuff has happened to you, and this is probably therefore why you're feeling like this. And it was just kind of just that clarity really started coming in, and I found that just so amazing. I had like, oh my god, I loved it. I honestly loved it so much. And so that was when it became like a real meditation, particularly became a real rigorous thing that I did all the time. And it's something that I really kind of push for anybody to try, really. And then that obviously plus the yoga, I think if I'm feeling again angry or anxious, it's just that like moving meditation, isn't it? It helps like release things on a physical plane. Like, you know, if I'm feeling angry, sometimes I just want to like power through some yoga and just like get myself into some sun salutation, sweat it all out, do some really big sighs and that kind of stuff. And then other times it's like if I'm anxious, just moving really fluidly and softly, again, it just helps. It soothes my breathing. And that's something I then researched into as well, obviously, because I found it so helpful, because I was then interested in why it soothed you so much, was the fact that breathing in general was just like, our breathing is so powerful. And most of us, when we're stressed or we're anxious or we're angry, we're breathing shallowly, we're breathing like in a short, rapid way. And that stimulates our stress response, that stimulates our blood to pump faster, our heart to beat faster. Mm. It stimulates cortisol, it's all this, and adrenaline. That's, we're in a state of stress, we're in a state of fight or flight. But when we slow down the breath, when we start to breathe deeper, we breathe into the belly, we let that diaphragm expand, it literally starts to calm our body down because we go into our rest and digest state. So it literally is physically, on a physical level, right down to like that nerve level, is literally helping calm us down. So yeah, then that obviously that sparked even more interest, because then I was like, this is fascinating. This is literally actually working on a scientific level. It's not just me being like, oh yeah, this feels quite nice. It's just like, literally this is why it's helping. So yeah. That was big. I feel like I've gone on a slight round the house's way, but
no, it's been perfect. It's been perfect. It's been so helpful and informative, and I can relate to a lot of it as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, I think, and that's literally, that's what I love. I still love going into schools. I find it exhausting when I do a full day in a school now with yoga and meditation, but I do absolutely love it. Because at the beginning, I will say to the kids, I'm like, put your hand up if you feel a little bit stressed or worried or whatever it may be. And most people put their hands up, and then we'll kind of just do a little bit of breathing and we'll just stop at the breathing. I'm like, put your hands up and feel a little bit better. And it's so, more often than not, it's like over half of the class will put their hands up and say that they feel a bit better. Oh. And I just love it, because you'll get kids right at the end, and it'll be kids who like suffer with really severe anger or have like real learning disabilities. And teachers will be like, they never get involved in anything. And it would just be kids coming up being like, I felt so much better from that. And and they find it just so interesting. And it's like, that's the thing, kids want to know this stuff. We as adults want to know this stuff, but we forget that kids also really want to know that stuff. They want to understand why they feel certain ways. They want to understand how to make themselves feel better. Because you did it as a kid. Everyone wants to as a kid.
Such a vital part of our education and emotional kind of acumen that needs to be part of the puzzle.
Exactly.
Exactly. Sure. I just had such a strong image of you at the meditation retreat, having like aha moment after aha moment, being like, oh, that's why. You know, and then just coming out being like, I need to stay, this is perfect.
It became my safe haven. I actually did stay for like two extra days because I'd gone to my teacher there, and I was just like, I don't feel ready to leave. Like, you can't.
Excuse
like, you
can. Me, please, can I stay?
Stay for a little bit longer. But then I was kind of, I'd stayed on, and then like a group of actual kind of monks and stuff had come in to obviously kind of have their time. And although that was amazing, I then was a bit like, I feel like I'm slightly intruding now, and that overall they're really
the only one with long hair.
Yeah, enlightenment. And I'm just like, oh my god, safe bubble, never leave.
It was a close call. She almost became a monk, folks. It was a moment. There was a moment. Oh, I love that. And then with the yoga, I find it fascinating as well, because so much of what we're on it, you know, when you said it took those 2 days for your mind to catch up, it's almost like, got this image of like, your brain's almost like a computer, right? And it's trying to upload files, and we're always on the go, and we're, especially if we're in avoidance and we're in do, which happens in anxiety often, you know, it doesn't get time to process and fully upload. And when it's the same in trauma, right? And so as a result, often those pockets of things we can't process get held in the body, they get held as stuckness, as tension, as tightness in the fascia, etc. And then when we move, you know, everything's meant to be in flow. It's meant to be. The only constants is change, all of that. We actually release that. So on a physical level, we are healing some of the emotional stuff in the past at the same time. Absolutely fascinating. And for anyone who's ever done yin, you know, you can really go into that quite deeply as well, how lots of our the meridian lines in our body are associated with different emotions. And it's a whole rabbit hole, isn't it?
It's so fascinating. It's just, that's what I find so interesting about certain yoga poses. There are like just certain ones that, like, especially when they're like linked with chakras or, you know, again, meridian lines, as you've just been saying, it's like there are just those certain poses which I will get into. And if I've not been dealing with stuff, like puppy bow pose is a real trigger for me. If I've not been dealing with stuff and I get into puppy bow pose, I will literally just sob. And I've got to the point now, I'm like, this is great. It's releasing what needs to be released.
Now you're like, let's use that key, that medicine.
Exactly. But I find it really satisfying. It's kind of a weird, kind of slight sadistic thing, I think, probably for some people it may seem, but it's just like when people come up to me after a class and they're like, oh, I was in pigeon pose and I couldn't stop crying. I'm like, great.
It definitely does come across like these teachers are kind of crazy, like crazy-masochists. But I can relate, because once you feel the relief and you've been through that a few times and you know the shock or the embarrassment has dissipated and you actually understand and have the experience of more space or more calm afterwards, or even on kind of a more profound level, feeling more light or more open, you know, more love flowing, all of those things, you're like, that is the good stuff. I want to have another one of those, you know, those breakthroughs and those moments, whether it's on a physical or emotional level.
And I think that's as well the thing. It's like, obviously we've kind of been touching upon this, I suppose, without necessarily really saying it, but it's also with yoga and meditation. I think that's where it really began for me, was my own self-awareness, because you become more aware of your body, you become aware of how your body feels, like not just on like literal like kind of like aches and pains, but like literally those like weights of emotion and things like that. You become really aware of those sensations and you feel aware of those shifts, and then you also become far more aware of how you're feeling, because you're taking that time just to drop down and check in with where you're at emotionally and physically. So that self-awareness of just like where you're at, acknowledging where you're at, just becomes so much more heightened, which I think is what brings in that real sense of just more calm or just like confidence and those kind of things, because you understand who you are at that moment rather than it just being as this kind of mad whirlwind where you're a bit like, oh, I've kind of been feeling like that today and now I'm feeling like this and I'm not really sure why, and then you kind of just like whirlwind off to somewhere else. But it is, self-awareness, I think it's brought me massively, and that was so huge in kind of me just growing and developing as a person.
Creates a space to almost have a relationship with your experiences. And I love that you use the word sensation almost rather than emotion, interestingly, because oftentimes I feel like emotion can come, as we've talked about, so charged. You know, we think of anger, and without knowing it, on those deeper subconscious levels, we might have shame attached, we might have judgment attached, whereas a sensation is a lot more neutral and we can meet it in with a lot more equanimity and a lot more level place. Yeah. And that allows that acceptance, actually. If we can be in that level, balanced place, acceptance is part of that place as well. So this leads in really lovely and really perfectly, like we'd written questions out almost, into the big question. Why self-acceptance coach? Why self-acceptance as being the absolute kind of focal point, the key to you? I know we've had a few chats kind of offline from this about just getting to that point where you're like, it's all about self-acceptance. Wow. So I would love to hear more about that. And I'm sure our listeners would as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Self-acceptance. I think this has been, it's something that I kind of have been coming back to for years, but I don't think I've actually realized for quite a while how poignant it was for me and is for other people. I think it was just that realization of, because especially in like today, there's that real trend for self-love. I'm not saying that it's at all a bad trend. I think it's a great trend and I hope it continues. I think self-love is so important. But I think sometimes we just get too bogged down in that need for self-love, and self-love is really hard, especially if we're not even accepting of where we're at already, like trying to leap from kind of feeling a bit crap about yourself to then being like, I love everything. Like, that's a big leap to take. And I think it just, self-acceptance takes that pressure off. And I think it's really important to know that we don't have to love everything about ourselves, but we do have to accept it. And there is, it's a very fine difference. But I think, like, with my anger, I always use this as an example. My anger when I was younger, when, you know, I was violent and kind of physically and verbally, I don't love that part of me, and I don't have to love that part of me. That's not something, or that time of my life, that's not something I love about myself. But I do accept it happened, and I do accept that that was just part of my life then. That was what needed to happen for me. And again, it's just that very fine line, and that just has helped bring me to a level of where I'm able to again deal with things that come up for me on a more accepting plane. I'm able to kind of meet them and not battle against them, not feel that I need to love it straight away, but just know that actually, if I sit with this, if I acknowledge this, if I work on just accepting this, then the confidence will come. Then if I need to let it go, I'll be able to let it go, or I'll be able to, you know, use it to grow and evolve. It's like whatever it is that I need it to do will come far easier. And I think for clients, it's something that, again, that was when I started really honing in on that self-acceptance message, was, again, without realizing, all the clients I was working with, so much of it kept on coming back to that acceptance of themselves. So many people I work with and so many people I speak to, it's just like, oh, well, I don't like something about myself physically. I don't like this aspect of my personality. I don't like where I'm at financially. I don't like where, there's so many things that people struggle to accept. And then by bringing in just that slow level of acceptance to just all areas of your life, just knowing that accepting isn't giving up. It's just, it can be used in two ways. There's kind of, I think, sometimes negative connotations around that word acceptance. It's like, oh, just accept it. It sounds a little bit like, just accept
it. Fatalistic.
Yeah, just resign yourself to it. But no, there's also accept it, just accept that this is where you are. This is okay. And I think that's the key. Like, it is okay to be exactly where you are. That is more than enough. That is okay. And then start to move forward. Once you accept and acknowledge where you are, then you can move forward when you need to. I hope that makes sense.
I love that. That makes so much sense. I almost feel like acceptance, as you're describing it, is giving you that choice. Like, this is a really crude example, and I apologize for its crudeness, but it's almost like any intervention, right, with any addiction, you have to first accept you have an addiction.
Yeah.
And from there, then you get to make a choice as to how you're going to manage it, what you're going to do moving forward. And you don't have to love it.
Yeah.
In fact, loving it would probably keep you in the situation in that scenario, right? So I think it's a really, really powerful message. And I also got a couple of phrases like, you know, what we resist persists. And I got this image of when we're acting in a way, or emotions are present with us or in us, or moving through us that we don't like, or we're shamed for, we have all that baggage around. Almost feel like sometimes physically, if we could analogize this, that, and I do this too, we're like closing our eyes and hiding from it, being like, I don't want to look at that, that's horrible. And I feel like what acceptance allows us to do is kind of like open one eye and be like, okay, open both eyes and be like, okay, anger is here right now, or this is happening right now, and we're okay. Yeah. And it's gonna change. And I think adding in those ands is so powerful, you know.
Yeah,
this is exactly where we're at, and it's okay.
I think that's where, because it is, it's like, again, like with my anger journey, like when I was really trying to like battle against it and push that anger to a side, that was when my anger continued to grow and persist. But when I brought in that acceptance of like, I am angry, and actually it's okay that I'm angry because stuff has happened, that was when, like, literally with the flick of a switch, essentially, my anger just started to slowly just reduce massively. And yeah, it didn't happen all overnight, but just like the change that happened just from me actually bringing in that slight bit of acceptance to where I was at was so huge. And again, it's the same with clients. I think it's just, especially like when it comes to eating, for example, people, when they kind of punish themselves over what they eat or feel like they're not eating well enough and all that kind of stuff, you'll kind of, again, it's that resistance. So you always end up, I'm not explaining this well, go back to the beginning. If for example, if you're about to like dive into a diet because you're punishing yourself for the fact that you've eaten X, Y, and Z over Christmas, so you're now going to only drink
It's coming from a lack of acceptance.
But it's actually, instead of finding that acceptance of like, it was Christmas, I enjoyed it, Also, it was Christmas. I'm allowed to eat, you know, 10,000 mince pies and drink all the alcohol. That's absolutely fine because it's Christmas and it only happens once a year. And it's just like, so I now don't need to punish myself and go on this mad diet, which I'm not going to be able to keep up anyway, because I'm then going to feel really shit because I've not eaten enough. I'm going to be low in everything I need. And then I'm going to just end up binging on all the sugar and that kind of stuff because I'm so hungry that I need something else. And then I'm going to punish myself again. It just becomes this vicious cycle. Whereas again, it's just finding again that acceptance, just burying those small little things of enjoyment. It can change and really shift your mindset and how you deal with things just in day-to-day life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I think the word enjoyment is such a key thing within that, right? Because you can look at two patterns of behavior and they can be motivated entirely differently and have a very different energy and be experienced completely oppositely in a way, you know, of really indulging in Christmas and then, you know, having the detox in January, let's say. You can do that and celebrate both. You can say, I'm going to really indulge in Christmas. I can't wait. I'm still going to listen to my body, but I'm going to love it. And I'm going to have all the bubbles and I'm going to enjoy the pigs and the blankets and it's going to be great. And afterwards say, you know what? That was great. And we're so privileged that we could do that. And that was wonderful. Yeah. And get to January and say, you know what? My body wants to go for a run now. Yeah. And you know what? I'm ready to have a juice. And that's fantastic too. And I love the diversity and I love the difference in December as opposed to January. And that same expression can be experienced the opposite way, you know, of, oh, I'm just going to eat all of this because I have no willpower and I hate myself for not having any willpower and I'm disgusting and I'm getting fat, da, 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 da. January, I hate myself, I had no willpower. Now I'm going to do this diet and I'm going to make sure that I do the things that I have to do to lose this amount of weight, and I hate running, but I'm going to make myself run and I'm going to do it anyway because I'm fat and disgusting, you know. And you can see, right, opposing ends of the spectrum in terms of experience, emotion, vibration, all of those things.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And it does, doesn't it? It's like when you're coming from either a place of punishment or resistance, that's when you disempower yourself, because you're taking away your power, you're taking away your joy, you're taking away that acceptance and love. And so that's then when you start to then amplify feelings of anxiety, feelings of anger, feelings of, you know, sadness, whatever it may be. It's sort of like those things get amplified because you're taking away the things that bring you joy, the things that actually bring you love and acceptance.
Yeah, starving yourself of them, starving yourself of those experiences as well as the food. Almost feel like it's this cognitive mistake that we made. And I touched on this when I did a Buddhist course, which is, you know, making ourselves, what we do is not the same as who we are. So we might be angry. What we do is we might shout, for example. Mm-hmm. We might scream. We might say something that we regret. That doesn't mean that that's who we are. And I feel like the self-acceptance is part of that key that just allows us to move those two things apart. Like, okay, this happened. I did those things. I expressed in those ways. I felt those emotions. And yet I am not that.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And when we can do that, then we can accept and go, okay, wow, all right. There's some space there to choose. Okay, so this moves on to, and I know you started talking about it and then I got excited and I took us off path as well. You were totally on format, which is, you know, your passion for your training and nutrition at the moment. I know you have a big passion in it, and especially the scientific side as well. And you've started to talk about how that's linked to the self-acceptance. What else would you like the listeners, or would be helpful for the listeners to know about that connection between the two?
Training to be a nutritional therapist, I realized I never actually said that at the beginning. I qualify in just a few months' time, but for me, food is there to be enjoyed. And I know that's kind of, again, quite a privilege for some people to think, but I absolutely adore food. But I think, again, it always comes back for me to that point of education and being able to educate yourself so that, again, you can accept and understand what it is you're putting in your bodies and why. It helps bring in, again, that level of acceptance for the choices you're making on a dietary basis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you understand that the reason you're eating a load of dark green leafy veg is because it's going to give you some magnesium, which is going to help ease your anxiety and help relax your muscles if you've done a big workout, or it's going to give you some more fiber so you're getting rid of excess hormones through pooing regularly. And it's just like, it's all just those things, like understanding how each thing has an impact in your body nutritionally, again, I think just starts to bring in that higher level of self-acceptance, because you're literally accepting so many different aspects of yourself. You're accepting that if I eat this sugary donut, I probably am going to have a massive spike in my blood sugar, and I'm probably going to feel really revved off the clock and get maybe really anxious and a bit jittery. But also, I understand that's why that's happened. I accept that's why that's happened.
It was worth the delicious donut. Yeah.
Exactly. I've enjoyed still that delicious sugary donut. It's like,
and you can make the choice informed, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. And it's just that informed, isn't it? It's just like a lot of the time, it's just like, I know I was the same. It's like I was always interested in food and what it did, but I didn't understand it in a really detailed way. But it was just like, you kind of, I'd have those days where I'd be really anxious or I'd be really tired. And I'd shovel in, you know, all the chocolate, all the carbs, all the alcohol, all the teas and the caffeine and all that kind of stuff. And that would be what I was craving. And then I feel even more shit because I'd eaten really crap. And why was I eating crap? Because I was already feeling crap. And it's just like, it was that vicious cycle. But again, it was just like bringing in that understanding and that education again for myself, where I'm just like, the reason when you're tired and you're anxious that you crave those kind of things is because you're not releasing the hormone when you're tired that gives you that feeling of satiety. So usually don't feel full up. So, and then also you need energy, and sugar gives you energy. So obviously you're going to want sugary carbohydrate foods because that's going to help give you energy. And then also there's just so many kind of aspects and layers to it, which then makes it easier to accept as to why you've done it, I think, rather than again feeling like you've let yourself down or you've made a poor decision. I think it empowers you on a dietary basis when you understand more about what you're eating and why you're eating it. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm massively about no restriction. I'm all about no restriction. I'm very much of a kind of mentality of it's 80-20, 80% mm-hmm. of the time you're doing a good job and you're eating as well as you can. Mm-hmm. And I think this goes anyway for life as well. You know,
yeah, I agree.
I'm like, do your best, do what you can 20% of the time. Go and get absolutely
a little bit of fuck it, you know.
It's just like, you know, drink. I love a drink. I'm not sitting here at all pretending that, you know, I kind of eat, you know, only celery and cabbage every single day and like don't touch a bit of chocolate, you know, for every day pretty much for the past 3 weeks. I've essentially had a glass of wine and a bit of Toblerone every day, so you know, that
sounds like a good day. I made a commitment a couple of years ago to eat dark chocolate every day. Because it honestly brought me so much joy. And I was like, I'm never going to binge on dark chocolate because it's too rich. Mm. And it brings me that much joy. There's such a good cost-benefit ratio. You touched on something so beautiful there that I just want to kind of magnify before we move on to the next question, which is, you know, your body is actually so intelligent and it might be just thinking about how to solve the next problem. So if you're really low on energy, it's going to think we need something sugary, you know, or we need caffeine. And it's the same with our emotions, right? Your anger is there to say your boundaries have been crossed or this situation is not okay. And underneath all of that, there's such a beautiful truth that I believe to be true anyhow, which is everything wants to help us. Our bodies want to help us. Our emotions want to help us. They all have important information. And the more that you can accept they're there, then you can almost drop into, and that's maybe the meditation, the yoga is part of this, to say, okay, what's the message? What's the gift of this? What do I need to know? What's going to help me? And that allows the joy, right? Because when we can move into that, oh, everything's here for our benefit. Everything's trying to help us. It's such a lovely place and experience to be in, rather than the opposite of, you know, life is red and tooth and claw and everything's against me and I'm against myself and I hate everything, you know?
Exactly. No. And I think I found out the other day, which I thought was really lovely, because it's just like, I often think, it's just like when people are stressed and they're like, oh, I've put on loads of weight. And your body is literally always there trying to tell you things and trying to protect you. It's never doing anything against you. It's doing everything to keep you alive and supported. And basically, when we're really stressed and chronically stressed, we basically often will find that we'll get a kind of bigger layer of fat on our tummies, and it's literally because our tummy is trying to protect our internal organs. It knows we're stressed, and also because that layer of fat helps produce hormones and different things to help support you. So it's literally just like, be like, I'm just gonna protect you by layering in this little bit of fat here and just help. But then we get really frustrated because we're like, and now we're fat on top of this.
Yeah, it's so true.
It's just like, it's trying to protect you.
100%. And even if you think of it on a purely like you have got protection against something, you know. I love that. I've often found, I know we've had chats about this, that as I have worked through an energy or a limiting belief or something that's stood in the way, my body will reflect that. So I might hold on to weight as I'm holding on to something of an experience or a vibration, I'm in resistance to it. when I clear it, when I accept, when I let go, the body reflects it as well, which is just always blows my mind. Okay, so I think maybe my favorite question on for today is, what is on the horizon? So where's the big picture? Where is Florence Bell Wellness heading? What can we expect to see in the future?
And it's super exciting. So yeah, obviously gonna qualify as a nutritional therapist at the end of June, which I can't wait for, and then I'll be properly launching consultations and obviously packages around that. But kind of big picture, big kind of thing that I really want to aim towards is we're gonna move back down south probably in the next year, and then I'm gonna probably start honestly looking in earnest to find a venue basically to create into my own clinic or practice, which will have a yoga room and kind of nutritional therapy kind of rooms, and hopefully have a shop and a cafe downstairs which does like really nutritious well-being deliciousness. Obviously meditation classes and retreats will be offered, but yeah, I just want to have a hub basically which is a place for people to come to be able to explore every aspect of their well-being rather than, you know, just like a fraction of it. It's like diving into food, diving into mental health, diving into the physical, whatever it is you need will kind of be there. So that's my big grand schemes and plans, which I'm very excited about.
I love that, and I'm so excited to experience it and to see it. I'm already seeing it in my mind, and yeah, that would be lovely. And also, it's interesting, you've touched on this, and I know it's been my experience and many other people that I've spoken to, that when we have that rude awakening moment, when we have that breakthrough moment, when we start to go, oh, this is why, and this is now what I want to do, this is how I want to heal, we do go down such a rabbit hole, you know, on the physical, emotional, mental, all of these layers of how we want to heal, how to understand things that we didn't know before. And so to have a hub where you can go into each of those elements and all of that is there for you, it would be just such a gift and such a wonderful thing to have in any community. So okay, so my next question is, if for any of those wonderful listeners out there that are at that stage, you know, of shit's hit the fan, they're breaking through their own challenges and they're just embarking, they've got that calling, they're embarking on their own journey towards healing, self-empowerment and living their soul's purpose, what would you say that one piece of advice would be to them?
I think for me, and just as well, because this was so pivotal for me and hence I focus on it, it's find that acceptance of where you're at. Don't feel you need to have, you know, X amount of qualifications in order to be a good coach or a good nutritionist or a good yoga teacher or whatever it is that you're kind of working towards. Accept where you're at now and know that you have something to offer just as you are now. Like you are literally enough. You are completely enough as you are. So work on that place of self-acceptance, because then from that is where you're then finally able to actually listen to what your soul wants, what your soul genuinely is guiding you to do, rather than just doing what you think you need to do. It's actually working out what it is that will lift you up, that will empower you. So come back to yourself, find that self-acceptance, find where you're at, find peace with where you're at as best you can, and then you'll be able to push forward and grow and evolve into that direction that will suit you and that will hone your business into that kind of perfect path that is what embodies you're about. That wasn't a good sentence to end on, but yeah.
I love that. No, I love that. And I hear you, you know, find that self-acceptance with where you're at, find peace with that. Almost, I feel like it's a surrendering to it, and then it will unfold naturally. You don't have to, you are enough as you are. There are people behind you that you can already serve, and it's not, you don't need to figure it all out now. You don't need to think of how to do it now. That will unfold, and it will unfold in the most magical ways if you allow it and you follow that path of acceptance. Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And I'm sure that will serve many people out there. So this is a really fun bit. We've got 5 rapid fire questions that I'm going to ask you to close up with. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What is something that most people do not know about you? Yeah. Crazy, but true.
Sorry, say that again. You froze literally just as you were about to ask it.
Right. Typical. Yeah. Rapid fire. Frozen. Cheers, universe. Okay, what is something that people do not know about you, a crazy but true fact?
I do a really good Donald Duck impression.
Can you do it for us now?
Yeah, I can.
Yes. Okay.
I've been in ages, I probably won't be able to do this now.
Amazing. So if you're ever feeling low, flows your past with Donald Duck impressions as well, guys. That's amazing. Party trick. Okay, fantastic. Thank you for that. Okay, how do you know when you are in alignment with your soul?
Oh, good question. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it all comes down to that feeling of grounding. When I feel grounded, and kind of even when I kind of feel like I'm flying a little bit, spiraling and doubting myself and getting that imposter syndrome, if I actually kind of like detach myself from those feelings slightly, take a step back and kind of sit with my breath, I'm like, if I still feel grounded in what I'm doing, I know I'm in line with what my soul is meant to be doing. It's kind of just taking, I hope that makes sense again, but it's that step back for me, but still feeling that feeling of being grounded, of being calm, even though there's all sorts of emotion flying on maybe around me or in me.
Okay, amazing. So being able to detach from all of the stuff that's happening in the head or around you, and when you drop into that kind of place of stillness within, you're still feeling grounded, you're still feeling that sense of calm. Amazing. And it's almost like, I feel like it's a steadiness that's there.
Yeah, that steadiness. And it isn't beautiful. Obviously just joy. You know, if I feel happy and excited about what I'm doing, then you know, then again, I know I'm doing something right, because that's always a good thing.
Okay, nice. Yes, joy, happiness, excitement, great stuff. Okay, my next question is, what has been your biggest win on this journey to date? As a soulpreneur.
Oh God, God, there's so many things in that sense. I think I mainly feel so proud of myself. I'm like genuinely so proud of what I have achieved and what I have accomplished, and the feeling of like, yeah, direction and yeah, just overall confidence that has given me in myself is just something that I will always treasure. I think I still just get amazed and just so uplifted as well with like the people you end up meeting and also kind of like watching on their journeys. I find that just such a big win. Anytime you work with anyone or you just meet someone within the industry who's just so lovely, and you're just like, oh my God, this is just like, it's opened up such a whole new field to me, which I just bloody love. But yeah, mainly I think I'm just mainly super proud of myself.
Love that, yeah. And that's, it hits on such an important point for all of us, right? To celebrate and to turn around and look at just how far we've come. You know, and I think it's oftentimes a piece of the puzzle that some of us miss, to be like, yeah, but look at, okay, might still be climbing the mountain, but look how high up we are already. Bloody hell, you know, incredible. Yeah. I love that. Okay. What has been your greatest challenge as a soulpreneur?
I think that it would be the financial instability. I think that is the main thing for me. And I'm sure it will be for a lot of people listening as well. It's that thing, it's just like, you know, when it's going well, it's going well, but especially in those first few years where you're kind of like getting yourself on track, you're building that client base, you're working out how much you're charging, and you'll suddenly be doing really well one month, and then the next month, you know, you'll pretty much lose all your clients and you're just like, I have no money, I can't pay rent. And it's that kind of learning to live with that instability and that fluctuation has again been very empowering, but also it's definitely the hardest thing for me to like learn to accept and deal with.
Yeah, nothing's going to challenge emotional resiliency like that, right? Exactly. All your root chakra stuff, I can totally relate. Okay, amazing. And my last question is, what has been your biggest aha moment? So your biggest kind of nugget of wisdom to date?
To be fair, I think actually just the realization that it all comes back to self-acceptance. Like for me, that was such a big realization for me, and also realizing that it was so important for so many other people. I don't think I'd realized how important it had been for me, as I said earlier, like until much later. And that it's just been such a big kind of like epiphany for me. I'm like, acceptance, that's what it's all about. And yeah, I found that so powerful. A huge aha moment.
And so powerful to be able to offer that to your clients earlier on in their journeys and to fast track them forward. I heard a teacher say once, you know, that essentially we end up teaching or giving or coaching the things that we wish we had back then, you know, and it's always the way, isn't it? It's like, and self-acceptance is absolutely what a powerful gift to be giving. So Flo, thank you so much for today. I feel like this has been such a rich interview and conversation, and there's so many nuggets for people to go away and chew upon and implement. If people are kind of like, oh my goodness, yes, and they're having kind of fireworks go off in their head right now, and they're getting that nudge and that feeling like Flo is a person I need to work with. Yes, I need to look at my self-acceptance. How can people find you, and what ways can people work with you at the moment?
Absolutely. You can find me either on Instagram or Facebook, which is just at Florence Bell Wellness. Or also I do have obviously a website, which is www.florencebellwellness.com. All of those you can kind of keep up to date with just like little free tips and things that I kind of offer anyway, and also just the different packages that are on offer. And also feel free to drop in or book in for kind of a free chat if you want to. But at the moment I am offering one-on-one coaching packages. These kind of come in a variety of lengths. So whether you just want to do a kind of one-off deep dive, if you want to do month long or 3 or 6 months where you really want to get into that self-acceptance as much as possible, then working with me one-on-one is a definite option. And then otherwise you can find me for yoga and meditation. I've got yoga and meditation pre-recorded packages, but also as well offering one-on-one or corporate and schools offerings as well. So all of those are available right now. And then come June, if you want to work with me nutritionally, get in touch. I'll be ready and waiting to get into those delicious habits.
Amazing, fantastic. Thank you. So for anyone that's looking maybe to build up their yoga practice, there's some amazing, beautiful pre-recorded bundles. I know you do some live classes too. There's some meditation packages there. There is many different varying lengths, and you can feel it out with the self-acceptance coaching. And nutritional therapy is coming online very, very soon. Fantastic. Oh, well, thank you so much, Flo. It has been such a pleasure. I love chatting to you always anyway, but this has been such a joy today. Thank you for your time, and thank you for joining us. Thank you. Take care, sweetheart. Bye.
Take care, see you soon. Bye.